The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
The Ohio State Supreme Court rules that boneless wings can have bones in them.
I saw this morning. I did not know what to think.
What?
It's just the style of cooking it?
Sports Talk Saturday.
Ohio Supreme Court ruled that foodies can't expect boneless wings to be completely bone-free.
They're boneless!
Stop it. Get some help.
Eat a bone with a bone in it, Deshaun.
But eat a bone with a bone in it.
On WGR.
This is open material, that's all I got to say.
Sports Radio 550.
I'm boycotting Ohio. Good morning. Welcome into Sports Talk Saturday. Still boycotting Ohio.
I think what shocks me about that open is you weren't boycotting Ohio before then, but that's beside the point.
Well, there have been good things that come out of Ohio. Sandusky, the movie Tommy Boy.
Okay, fair
you know
enough.
Callahan Auto. Like, yeah. I feel like that's like a good Ohio thing.
Okay, fine. I mean, there are fun things in Ohio.
Yes,
but it's a bad drive-through state. Drive-through state.
And now knowing my esophagus could get torn up eating a boneless wing with a bone in it, I'm even that much further out.
That was like 6 months ago on that, right?
I think so. That's relatively fresh. Not too old yet. But I'm Joe Cali, joined today by TJ Luckman, filling in for Derek Kramer. We got a little Sabres pre-game, some Bills talk. Evan DePasquale's on the board. Want to make a quick note. It is Evan's birthday today, so happy birthday, Evan.
Happy birthday, Evan.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Going to the Sabres game on his birthday, so hopefully they can keep the winning momentum going for you.
Hey, they're going with the same lineup tonight. Keep it going.
Keep it going, yeah, exactly. Lindy Ruff said it himself.
You took out the best goaltender in hockey out of the lineup in the second period, so...
Yeah.
Looking good.
Yeah, no, they are looking good. And we're going to talk all about them. But TJ, first, I just wanted to chat maybe a little bit about this Bills-Colts matchup, get some of your thoughts. I think trap game. I'm a little nervous about it. Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco. He's going to be a statue in the pocket, but he's still got an arm, and he will make some plays. Just, I guess, like, what are your feelings going into it here?
Trap game is definitely a good way to look at it, especially looking at their upcoming schedule, because they have the Chiefs next week, followed by the 49ers, which are both home games, the Rams, and then the Lions. So that's kind of a gauntlet coming for them after the Colts. But I think it gives me the sense of they may not be firing on all cylinders, but the Colts are still a team that I think they should beat, even with Joe Flacco at quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback, but I feel like since he's come back into the NFL, and now that he's been back for a little while, you did say he's a statue in the pocket. The Bills have a very good pass rush unit, so I do expect them to be able to get to him in that fashion. The one thing I do worry about with them is Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, we're going back maybe 3 or 4 years ago where he just ran down that team's...
Yes, I want to say that might have been 2021
or
2022.
Yeah, so it might have been a while, but...
45 points scored basically by him.
Yeah, he reminds me of a Derrick Henry type running back in terms of he'll just keep going and going until he punishes you. And the Bills' defense, still not at full strength, but they still have enough that I think where they should be able to stop the Colts. The Colts are not the Ravens.
No, they're not the Ravens. If anything, this is a similar game, in my opinion, to the Seahawks game, like the plan. Because they have Kenneth Walker, who's nothing to scoff at either. And they limited him very well in that game. So they just have to get off to a quick start and actually execute. Even against the Dolphins, they struggled to execute initially with that interception to Coleman and everything like that. So,
It'll be big with him out.
Yeah, they're pulling, if Amari Cooper's out too, they're pulling someone else up from the practice squad too. So that's going to be two practice squad guys, Mac Hollins and Khalil Shakir.
And plus they did sign the receiver yesterday from the...
Yes, I forget his name.
Jaleel Virgil.
Virgil, yes. Yeah. Virgil.
They signed him to a two-year deal, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
They must really like him.
Maybe.
Especially since they love Tyrell Shavers in camp. So clearly something happened there.
He might be the one, if Cooper can't play, he might be the one that comes up next, I would
assume. That makes the most sense.
But they did also reinstate Curtis Samuel. He's off the injury report. So maybe we'll actually see him play as a wide receiver instead of a gadget receiver.
It's it's funny because like you sign him. And he's a guy that I'm sort of disappointed in, not in him, but more in Joe Brady. It's like one of my few criticisms of him so far, especially since he's had a player like Curtis. He's had Curtis Samuel in his offense in Carolina, where he was a much bigger piece, and he moved around all around the offense. And I've only seen him line up behind line up behind center or line up next to Josh for a little dunk or something or for a trick play. His usage is exactly like Isaiah McKenzie's, and it makes no sense to me.
No, it should be more like Khalil Shakir's usage.
Right.
Yeah, he's a very fast receiver.
Also have Khalil Shakir, so that makes it hard.
Yeah. I mean, in this situation, though, even with Amari Cooper out last week, you should have put him on the outside and let him just run downfield, see what he could do. Mac Hollins can't track a deep ball. We've seen that in action. So you might as well see if he can. But, you know, you actually sought him out for money. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he actually gets some reps this week with the receiving corps being so weak, I guess, without your number one guys. But,
yeah.
Bills Colts tomorrow, wall-to-wall coverage all day. But today is a day for the Buffalo Sabres. They're putting things together, it looks like. They've been playing really well their past few games. They're playing the Calgary Flames at home. This has a win written on it, right? But at the same time, I can't say that about this team because they're the most consistently inconsistent team in the NHL.
They really are.
So I guess, I mean, what do you think of their performance at this point? They're 6-7, have the chance to get back to 500, 6-7-1 right now, have the chance to get to 500 right now at this point.
Yeah, so the thing I was worried about them with the start of their year was they were just not going to be in the conversation by the time November rolled around, and obviously that was a very early feeling. We're now 14 games in, we're looking at them 6-7-1, so things are at a much better standing, and they're kind of in a pool of teams that are just there. So I like that they're kind of hanging around, and it makes me think that we'll be talking about them past February this year, which is very exciting. The past two games, speaking of exciting, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's like they all figured it out, and you got Dylan Cousins on the board, Bowen Byram's potting a couple. Five against the Rangers, Chasen Shesterkin, remembering that Jonathan Quick is still in the league.
Yes, right, yeah.
That was funny, going down like a memory lane of like, oh, wow, remember when he was the Olympic goalie and he was the third guy and all that. But yeah, it's been nice kind of sitting there and going like, okay, they found this mode again, which had been missing last year. Goaltending-wise, UPL is taking control again.
Yes.
Which I really like. He seems to be kind of a late starter, but that's fine as long as he can keep it going throughout the year.
Right.
Levi, I think kind you of, still want to figure out how to get him to the AHL and get him some starts.
Yeah. Keep him consistently playing. I think that's the best way to get him in shape.
Yeah. You know? And especially since Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and he is a guy that thrives on starting multiple games in a row. He's that type of goaltender.
Mm-hmm. He gets momentum. He sticks with
it. He does. And I don't think I think they what the Sabres want is a 1A and 1B situation, and I just don't think it's quite there yet. You know, they want a type of Linus Ullmark, Jeremy Swayman situation.
Yes, right.
But I think if you have a guy like Levi and you can send him down to the AHL for nothing, you have to figure out a way to do that. Even if that's, I don't know, if the Ducks send James Reimer down again, you can get him back.
Yeah.
And then that'll force their hand, because I think since the Ducks took him on waivers, it's been over 30 days. If the Ducks put him back on waivers, it's the regular waiver process. So if they pick him up, they have to keep him on the NHL team for another 30 days. But that would mean they have to send Devin Levi down, or they're going to roll three goaltenders, which, please, don't do that again.
Don't do that again. That was a universal, like, please never do this again. The three goalies just taking up a roster spot. Like, please don't do that. I can't.
Yeah. And the thing that's surprising to me most is the last two games they've done it without Matias Samuelsson and Henry Jokiharju, who Samuelsson is... You got a long contract with him. Jokiharju is a guy who I think a lot of us were talking about trading him over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And now that looks like you can keep talking about that, I feel like, especially if we're going to go three games in a row without him getting a start. And honestly, there's no reason to make that change, as Lindy Ruff keeps saying.
Yeah. He's not going to pull the Granato and just shuffle the lines around to shuffle them.
No,
and see what works.
No,
yeah.
This isn't the time for that anymore.
No.
It's time to... I do like that Lindy's brought in that kind of accountability, what they were looking for, but I think also they didn't realize what they were asking for.
Right, yeah, sitting your guys. I mean, I'm looking at this Rangers box score, right? Mm-hmm. Every offensive player, essentially, right, had a point.
It was the first time every offensive player had a point in a game since like 94 when they played the Caps. I saw this earlier.
That's insane.
So in 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. 30 years.
That's never happened.
No.
That's and you think about the, at least I think about like the 2005 to 2007 teams who rolled teams constantly. How did those teams never do it? How is that a 94 thing? But yeah, that's the way they're, Lindy's always been an all four lines rolling type of guy, mm-hmm. and that's on full display right now, especially when he has the horses to do it, and he
does. Yeah.
I like the biggest problem with them under Don Granato is it only felt like Don figured out one way for them to do something, and it didn't work last year. And this year it seems like the Sabres are still going through growing pains, but trying to win other ways.
Right.
Even though the last two games are the way that was 2 years ago. But now I think you're going to get the goaltending.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to have that swing of bottom 10, top 10 goaltending. I think it's finally stabilizing more towards you're going to be around average to better than average in the league, which is, I think, where you want to be in goaltending. It's your forward group that you really want to get set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're, like you said, you're at a consistent mark of goaltending at this point. Hopefully that continues. But
yeah,
you're right. 2 years ago, it was, let's just, you know, give the defense or give the opposing offense a chance, but we're going to play reckless with this thing, right? Street hockey almost. You're doing that this year, but you actually have defense to kind of keep you safe on your end of the ice, you know?
I'd say it's still reckless. You have, you know, before these two games, they lost, what, three in a row?
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple games where Lindy called out guys and said that was, he straight up didn't make the play there.
Yeah, accountability.
Calling out his players in the media. And I think that's something that the previous coaches, it felt like they went out of their way to make sure that they're not saying anything bad about their players to the media. And it's like, we all know what's going on. We know you're going to say it to him anyway. You know what I mean? And that's what we've always liked about Lindy, is that he's always been kind of no nonsense.
Right.
And where he'll say, like, yeah, that guy didn't make a play. But you also know that Lindy's going to go and talk to that guy. It's not just like the guy's, I doubt the guy's being blindsided by his coach saying that in the media.
Yeah. He's not just saying it to the media and they're not saying anything to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. It's not his style.
Yeah. The accountability is there. And I think that helps a lot. You heard all preseason, Alex Tuch. they're doing muscle-ups on the ice, push-ups on the ice, right? Mm-hmm. You weren't doing that with the previous coaching regime. So it's just exciting to watch this team again. They're 6-7-1 right now. A Calgary team they're playing who, I mean, I feel like is beatable at this point. They're 7-5-2. Is this a team you could see them easily beating today at home on home ice?
Kind of. Not easily. Easily is kind hard of, to say, yeah. But you're also facing a team coming in from the Western Conference playing a 9:30 a.m. game their time.
Yes.
Might be a thing to take advantage of.
Right.
The Sabres, I think a couple years ago, they were always a good afternoon team for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that was like a 1 year thing.
But yes.
Since then, not really so much.
They did all right on the primetime road trips, too. It
right,
was the later
right.
games.
I remember that, mm-hmm. yeah. The last couple of years have just been these swings of, oh, they're back in it. Oh, they're out. Oh,
yeah.
They're back in. We are so back. Oh, we are so over.
I remember last season, as they were getting close to playoff contention, having to do two-hour nightcaps leading into the West Coast games.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and I was sitting here taking calls like, oh, they could do it. I think they can do it. And unfortunately, they were not able to get it done. And I remember sitting here kind of dumbfounded a week later, like, okay, they're out of playoff contention now? It was that quick.
Yeah, for sure. I do want them to string some more games together. They've already gotten one three-game winning streak this year. I want to see them get their second one before February this
right.
year.
Yeah. And maybe put on another.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. maybe more than three sometimes, or, you know, multiple three-game winning streaks. If you remember anything about Lindy's first time here, his whole thing was getting... He would separate the season into, like, five-game increments
mm-hmm.
and would just say, you need to get three of these five every time.
Okay.
Which I think is a great philosophy. I am paraphrasing a lot of it, so don't quote me
right.
on it, but I think that was the general idea, especially when they got really good in the mid-2000s. I think he said something along those lines, is that's how he breaks it down for the players, and I think that's a very digestible way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have to win three out of every five. I feel like you should mentally be able to prepare for that, and that's
yeah.
a very... I mean, of course, you want to win five out of five.
Right. Over 50% is good, too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because then, you're, you know, if you keep doing that consistently, your record at the end of the season, of course, is going to be over 500. So, and in a competitive conference, that makes all the difference, actually stringing wins together, not just winning one, losing one, or, you know, losing eight games straight in the middle of November like they did two seasons ago. So,
sure.
you know, it's all very interesting. They're looking like they can string together some wins. We're just going to have to wait and see. But I'm excited. I'm ready to watch this Calgary game. They're home again against Montreal on Monday, too, and against the Blues. So they have a string of home games here to really do things in front of a home crowd. And
against some teams that you should be beating.
Yes.
Montreal is a team last year. Every game they played against Montreal, you go into it thinking they should be beating this team. And I don't think they beat Montreal once last year. Maybe at the end of the year.
Maybe once.
Yeah.
But it's not, again, not the near metric it should be.
Right.
So,
and that's been the trouble with this team for a while, is they're not, you want them to win the games that you think they should win.
Right. They were killing teams they shouldn't beat
right.
sometimes.
Right.
And then they weren't winning against teams they should be beating. So,
right. It was always it was always that they would play up, but they would also play down, and they need a more consistent level to where they're the team that other teams are playing to, and not the other way around.
Right.
They should set the standard.
Exactly. Now it's time to get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Rob in Connecticut, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday, a little Sabres pre-game for you. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Actually, I'm sitting in the parking lot over here at Aldi's, waiting for my fiance to come out. I'm not at home listening to the radio, but it was very important for me to call today because, if you guys aren't aware, it's Evan's birthday today.
Yeah.
So I wanted to wish him a happy birthday, because it's been 2 years that I've been listening to WGR 550. When I lost my eyesight, I still wanted to be connected somehow, so I started listening to WGR 550 every single day. You guys bring great information. You guys become like family to me, brothers, and I love everything that you have to offer. So this is like an anniversary for me as well. As far as the hockey game today, let's see Calgary go down in flames and die to the sword. They were impressive the other night against the New York Rangers, which was unexpected. That's the way I want to see the Sabres play hockey, right there. Well, hear about it. I can't see them play anymore. But other than that, tomorrow, there's a little concern. You know, it's like, I don't want to walk into this game thinking that we got this, you know, a little cocky. You know, last week was a little eye-opener against Miami. So it was frustrating. I don't want to see that first half, nothing, no production. I don't want that second half, you know, game. I want a whole game. I just want to see us play a whole football game. I enjoy the wins. I'll take them. Use Ray Davis more on the out patterns. You know, pass to him. If we have such a problem with James Cook catching the ball, just run him. But throw the ball to Ray Davis. He seems to know what he's doing. So good luck with that, guys. You're always great. This is Sports Talk Radio. I love you guys. I always say it's silly, wacky Sports Talk Saturday, and I miss Derek today. Not that you guys don't bring it. So with that, I will let you go. If you guys can keep me on, I would like to listen to the radio on my phone.
Yeah, we'll put you on hold, Rob. Thanks a lot. Thank you a lot for calling, and thank you for sharing all of that. We appreciate you listening.
Yeah, Rob's been a very loyal listener. I've gotten to know him through producing and on the air, so
nice.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
We also miss Derek today.
Yes, we can't bring the wacky like Derek can, so... You know.
And we also did shout out Evan's birthday, but we'll do it as many times as we need to.
Yes.
On Wacky Sports Talk Saturday.
Evan, what's the number? 25?
26.
26. The big 2-6.
Yes. All right, happy birthday.
Yeah. Rob, thank you for everything you had to say. I like what he says about the Colts. I think that's what we kind of opened up with is, you know, this can kind of be a trap game for the Bills. And definitely bringing up the slow starts, great point. I think in all but two or three of their games this year have been
Miami
nothing,
and Seattle, those
nothing.
The quick ones that they've done.
Right. Mm-hmm. So definitely want to see them starting out, especially like we said before, going into that rough stretch. You can't have quarters like, you can't have halves like that against teams like the Chiefs and teams like the 49ers.
The Lions, too.
The Lions,
you can't give
really
them any
such a rough stretch.
Room. Yeah.
Now, they do have the bye week between the Chiefs and the 49ers, so they will have some time to sort of
rest and recuperate.
Rest down, you know.
Some taper.
Get down to, you know.
Hopefully get some people
rid of
healthy.
The stress on the body.
Yeah.
Things like that before they go into that gauntlet.
Hopefully Amari Cooper can catch by then with his injury. So
yeah,
you got to, you know. Hopefully by the Chiefs game, but if not, the bye week will help. But
Of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, even I agree, don't take them lightly. I still, you know, a Sean McDermott coach team, I do think has a base level of, you know, a standard of play where no matter who the opponent is, they're still going to find a way. This Bills team finds ways to win. I don't want to say in other years that they didn't have it, but it just feels like
they, in a close game, you actually give it to the Bills this year, where before you're like, oh, here comes like 13 seconds again. It's over. Like they're not going to, you know, where
that Houston game notwithstanding. But.
Right. That's the only one. But then again, that was crazy. Allen got rushed off the field, knocked out. Right. And then he came back. Just couldn't get it. The coaching was bad on both teams. That kind of let that game get out of hand. But
yeah.
No, I think, again, like we said, trap game, start fast, and get to the quarterback. Those are the fundamentals of winning that Bills game.
Yeah,
so.
And like we said, you shouldn't have too tough of a time getting the Flacco.
No. You added a couple new players, too. Jordan Phillips is back.
That's right. Some old friends.
Yes.
Quinton Jefferson.
Yep.
Very cool.
Might even help you more getting to the quarterback, but we'll see. More Sabres, though. coming up. We got to take a quick timeout here. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. I'm Joe Calley for TJ Luckman. Evan's on the board. This is WGR.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Down 4-0. Facing more pressure here from Malenstein. Sends it across. Scores! Lafferty! And the Sabres go back to back to back here quickly in New York and lead it 5-0 with 6:09 to go in the second period.
I think my jaw might be on the floor at that point, kind of watching this game. I was like, okay, they're really laying it on.
I was at a place where a guy... I was at a bar, and there was a guy down the bar. I was like, is that Shesterkin playing? We're like, yeah. Wow. Like, what's going on? And then, like I said before, realizing that Jonathan Quick is still playing games in the NHL as a backup.
Right.
And we were all like, you have two cups. I'm pretty sure he's technically a silver medalist because he was on the 2010 team.
Yeah, I think he was the third goalie.
Right, yeah.
Him and so it was Miller, Tim Thomas, and Quick.
That's right. Yeah, you've done everything. What are we still doing?
Right.
He played in LA and he's like, I just want to play in the other coast.
Right. Yeah. You want the
biggest market in America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for real.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Calley here with TJ Luckman for another about half hour or so. We're going to have Pat Malacaro on in the last segment to give a little pre-game for the Sabres from the arena, give his thoughts on what this Calgary game can mean and, you know, what the Sabres can do in the next few games. Maybe go on a heater. We'll have to wait and see. But, TJ, we were talking off-air. You know, the Sabres, we did mention Columbus, St. Louis. Those two games are winnable. Where do you see the Sabres having to be by, say, January to really be relevant in this conversation for a playoff spot?
I mean, you need to keep your amount of points above your amount of games played.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be your biggest goal. I think...
You think that gets them a wild card spot at minimum?
Mm-hmm. I think this year it's playoffs or bust.
Right, they have to.
Like, it's been over a decade. Has it been? Oh my God. It's been over a decade.
13 years, yeah. You got to do it before the Jets. That's also something going on.
Right. And then you also, and I think right now they're in a good spot to put themselves there. They're at one point below their amount of games played. So you want them to get that above that. But yeah, they're at a 464 points percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So. But their goal differential, because of the last two games, they got that above. So they're looking good there. Again, I want to see them remain in the conversation. That's really all I'm asking for.
Yeah.
In order to make the playoffs. I would love for them to be comfortably in a spot. I don't think they're going to be. But I do think they have opportunities ahead of them here. I do think they have a good group. I think we've all been talking about we would love it one more forward on this team. And I think in 32 Thoughts this past week, Elliot Friedman said that Kevin Adams is on the phone. He's trying to acquire somebody.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we don't know who that is or what they're trying to acquire there. I assume a forward, but
I've seen people saying they're missing Casey Mittelstadt right about now. But also, I'm like, Bo Byram's pretty good.
Right.
So I'm
especially
like,
if they're going to play him with Dahlin, and they seem to complement each other
very
really
much
well.
So, yeah. So I'm like, I get it for the forward conversation. You want Mittelstadt, but also, I'm okay with Bo Byram being on the team.
Yeah. And plus, I think they're finding out that Jacob Bryson has developed into a fine third-pairing defenseman.
Yeah, he like, really
you
has.
You can more than tolerate him for 15 minutes a night. In fact, he's getting, in his three games this year, he's averaged 16 minutes, while Dennis Gilbert is averaging 10 minutes. The Buffalo darling, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a good switch over for the Sabres so far. I don't know how long they're going to be able to sustain that, because with Gilbert playing 10 minutes a night, that means you have one of Rasmus Dahlin or Owen Power probably playing 30 minutes a night in those.
Yeah.
Dahlin and Power, they're at 24 and 21 minutes respectively per night. Byram also a 21-minute a night guy. So you have guys that can eat those minutes, but you can't, for example, in 12 games, Henrik Järvi's on the ice for 18 minutes a game, and they're just sinking when he's out there. And obviously, not obviously, but hopefully, being benched is sending him and Matthias Samuelsson a message, especially since Samuelsson has the big contract.
Yeah, that the message definitely does need to be sent. It's been, honestly, though, really refreshing to see, you know, guys are being held accountable, like we were talking about in the first segment,
mm-hmm.
being set. Hey, you're not doing what we need you to do here. Take a few games.
Right.
Sit down. And guys who are coming in are seizing the opportunity and putting things together. So I'm really happy with the direction of the team. It's just going to be can they shed the consistently inconsistent mantra, if you will, right?
I think that's
kind of the problem that they've had.
It's the thing you've been trying to shed for, this is the third year,
yeah.
I think.
Highest of highs and lowest of lows. That's just what this team's been.
Right. I do think you are not getting as many of those lowest of lows this year, because
mm-hmm.
I do think the difference between this season and the season from two seasons ago is that you're going to have better goaltending. You have that straightened out.
Right.
For the most part, I still think that they could use some help to get Levi some starts and to get just another guy who's a routine backup in the NHL to be here just in case. But for the time being, I do like where they're at. I wish they were actively in a playoff spot right now. But the thing I was worried about at the beginning of the year, especially with them playing so early and having the games in hand over everybody, was when everybody catches back up to you, you cannot be out of it. And they're not. And that's huge. And that was the biggest worry, which it's November. Like, that should have been, that's the bare minimum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be the lowest of the low in November, right?
Yeah. Don't be in last place.
Right. So, you know, mission accomplished, but now the goal should be higher. The goal should have always been higher. And I do think it is. And I think, I don't want to do the Europe thing anymore.
No more
Europe.
Let's not start in Prague ever again.
Right.
Like, maybe as an exhibition game in the preseason, okay.
Right.
Showcase the NHL, but no, not in the regular season.
I don't want to be selected for that. I'm sure it's great for them. They get to experience a lot, but I feel like it just throws everything out. I will say I'm glad they didn't do it when Dallas and who was just over. They just did a game in Germany. I think Dallas did.
Dallas.
It was like 2 weeks. It was like a week ago. or something.
Huh.
I can't remember which country it was in. But I'm glad the Sabres did the preseason version rather than the random trip in
Finland.
Yeah, Finland. Thank you.
Yeah, for the global series. Yeah, they got the first two games early, and then they're back in the States.
Right.
Yeah,
that was Dallas was, I forget, was it Seattle? Was I right?
I think. I just
maybe it was Nashville. Either way, they were in Finland, and they were doing their U.S. portion of the schedule, and then you have to go to Finland, play two games, and then come back. That must be hard.
Dallas Stars beat Blackhawks and return home from Finland. And so that was return home from Finland.
That was back. Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. I've got a.
Either way.
Yeah. I don't. I'm not getting any. Actually,
that's okay. Evan got me the correct country, and that's what I really needed. Okay, the Panthers.
Yes. Win that's for good. Florida Panthers against the Dallas Stars. I don't think they did great, but.
Right. All I'm saying is, at least they were the early one and not the middle of the season one, if that makes sense.
Right.
This isn't quite middle of the season, but it's in between games that already started here.
It's different, though, than like an NFL team going to Europe because you have a week.
Yeah.
And the Jaguars actually reside there for multiple weeks in a row when they play, so it's like a home game for them eventually. But with the NHL, you're bouncing back and forth so many games throughout a week.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
It's
you know?
Tough. Yeah. And they're talking about adding two regular season games and taking away preseason games, so which I'm in favor of.
Yeah.
Because why are we doing preseason games?
I think preseason in every sport is starting to be called into question of why are we risking injuries just to get warmed up? Let's get warmed up, add a couple extra games in the regular season, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Plus, everybody likes the games at the beginning of the season when they're all high scoring and everybody kind of forgot how to play defense for like a week.
Right.
And then it kind of rounds into form with more practice and everything. But yeah, I think more and more teams are figuring out, like, we know what we have in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
The preseason games are mainly, like this year for the Sabres, it was just, we'll leave one group here and they'll play our home games here. We're going to take our actual NHL. They knew who their NHL group was right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think teams know generally what they're getting into, and they know that they don't need preseason games to figure out if a young guy's doing well in training camp.
Yeah.
They can just see it.
We're risking NHL health, NHL player health, against AHLers in a preseason game.
Yeah.
The Sabres did, at least this preseason. So,
and plus with the prospect tournaments and everything that all the teams do now,
right.
I think those are the games where they're seeing where those guys are at. So it kind of makes the preseason obsolete. But
those could be the quote-unquote preseason, and you could call it after that.
Exactly.
Preseason. We're going to see it end, I think, in a few years. We'll see, not end, but maybe one game or something like that. But
I think one game is – I think one two game
– Get your feet underneath
In the NFL, one or two games makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. They used to have four. Now there's three.
And, now they're talking about going to 18-2.
Yeah.
And then if you're lucky, you're the Hall of Fame game team, so you get three.
Yeah. That's the question, though, is, like, where do you throw an extra bye week in there? One bye week for 18 weeks?
Yeah,
like, that's crazy.
They would definitely go.
Would you make the Pro Bowl kind of like an all-star week?
I think I've seen Goodell talk about this, though, to where essentially I think they want to rework the schedule so that the Super Bowl falls on the day before President's Day. Oh, no. Sorry. February. Yeah, no.
Oh, you're right, President's Day.
Yeah, they want to do it the weekend of President's Day, so everybody's off on Monday, or the people who have off from work on President's Day are off. So I think...
Yeah, they're trying to make it a holiday.
I think that helps them in their quest for that. So
yeah, no, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick time out here. We'll have Pat Malacara on the other side to give a final preview of the Sabres-Flames game. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. I'm Joe Calley with TJ Luckman. Evan's on the board. This is WGR. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. I'm Joe Calley, joined by TJ Luckman. And on the Wester Hotline, we're now joined by Pat Malacara at KeyBank Center. Pat, how are you today?
Good to chat with you, Joe. It's always fun when it's a Saturday afternoon game today, and you know, Sabres will take the ice here against Calgary in a little bit, and then someone like me will probably sit around and watch Hockey Night in Canada later, so be a full day of hockey for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't really complain about that. The Sabres having an impressive performance past few games here. Mm-hmm. What do you make of this matchup against the Calgary Flames, I guess, on the surface of it all?
Yeah, I mean, these are two teams, I think Calgary more so than the Sabres, they've had to remake their identity over the last couple of years, going from the likes of Monahan, Gaudreau, and Tkachuk to now the team that they have through trades and free agent acquisitions. They're in a different spot, I think. But for the Sabres, you look at really coming together now, and that's the one thing going into the year. I thought, yes, you still have to figure out a way to replace Jeff Skinner's goal scoring. But with Lindy Ruff and what his coaching staff wants to coach out of this team, the balance on the forward ranks was something I was eager to see. And we're seeing a lot of that now. I mean, who had Zucker, being such an offensive, spark plug for this team right now, but Jason Zucker's been so good and a catalyst for a lot of the offense. Ryan McLeod, thought that was a good trade over the summer for Kevin Adams, the ability to get somebody down the middle that, again, balances out your lineup where, okay, you haven't necessarily on paper replaced those, 25 to 30 goals maybe that you've got to figure out a way to, but the Sabres in the offseason, we're trying to chip away at that, I feel like. And I think we're really starting to see now, win three, lose three. You've played a couple good games in a row now. Can you keep it going? But I think you're starting to see, really, after a month of the season, what this Sabres team is going to be and how, if they're going to be successful, what that looks like.
Yeah, I think, Pat, to put it in Moneyball terms, they rebuilt Jeff Skinner on the aggregate, right? Another story, I think, that's kind of big, especially in the last two games, is Henrikki Harju and Matias Samuelsson sitting down. And I think we've gotten to see Dennis Gilbert is obviously the local story, but Jacob Bryson, I think, in his minutes has impressed while he's been on the ice.
Yeah, and I think, again, it goes back to what Kevin Adams in the front office was looking to do in the coaching change in the offseason, and that's hold players more accountable. And we can discuss whether or not the players themselves should be the ones that should have been able to do that prior, but that is one thing that Lindy Ruff, look, it's not easy to scratch somebody who has an A on their jersey. Yeah. It can be hard to come back from that, but he's found a way to do it in Samuelsson, and you kind of grow from it. He's still a very young player, and they're young players, and for Henrikki Harju, at times he's been maybe the Sabres' best defenseman, last couple of years in spurts, but it's now finding that consistency, and maybe it takes an opportunity for one player to come out and another player to just get that spot in the lineup, and they bring something different too, right? Like, I think for Gilbert's case, he brings something different, so can he maximize that right now? And, maybe you were thinking on the previous game against the Rangers, would Lindy Ruff go back to bringing Joakim Harju and Samuelsson back in the lineup? But with the way the team played so well the game before, why would you make a change? And again, with that Rangers game just a couple of nights ago, you almost have to keep the same lineup because of how well it's worked. And until it doesn't, then you've got to kind of stick with it.
Pat Malicara on the West Hur Hotline. Pat, last season we saw a lot of the Sabres' key players regress a little bit. This season, though, one in particular, Tage Thompson, we're seeing kind of, TJ and I were speaking off air, sneak his way maybe to 40 points this season. We'll see. What do you make of his performance, and can he remain consistent?
Yeah, I think that is honestly, that's the question. I honestly don't know the answer to that, but I do think you're going to see a player closer to 2 years ago than last season in Tage Thompson. And, yeah, I mean, look, he's already up 9 goals, 16 points on the season. If the Sabres are going to be successful, well, they've built it around specific players, and he is one of those players that is going to have to be an offensive playmaker, not only just goal scorer, but just offensive playmaker. And look, special teams is such a big part of the game and was such a big part of his offense a couple of years ago, and we're starting to see the power play perform much better after the first couple of weeks of the season. Thompson's been part of the reason for that, and you just feel like, once you get that confidence, it kind of rolls downhill in a good way. And I think for Thompson, he'll go on stretches where you just see those flashes of what we saw 2 years ago. And again, to me, that is closer to the player. And again, you're talking about chipping away at some of those goals that you lost in Jeff Skinner. Well, if Tage Thompson doesn't have to set a new career high, but if he can get around what he had 2 years ago, well, then you're talking about adding a lot of those goals back.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Pat, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate your time, and we'll hear you in just a few minutes here for the Sabres pregame.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, TJ.
Thanks, Pat.
All righty, that was Pat Malacaro joining us on the Wester Hotline from KeyBank Center. Gearing up for Sabres pregame, that means it's time for us to go. TJ, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming on today. Evan, happy birthday. For TJ Luckman, for Evan DePasquale, I'm Joe Calle. You've been listening to Sports Talk Saturday. This is WGR. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.